This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Changing currents in the Southeast. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, October 8th. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
As dams continue to fail and others may give way, receding floodwaters in South Carolina have extended the nightmare further downstate.
Grieving families have gotten the announcement they feared. The Coast Guard has called off the search for crew members missing from a sunken cargo ship.
In sports, the Cubs beat the Pirates for the NL wild card. Meanwhile, Kansas City and Toronto host American League Division Series games today.
And the unsettling things that teenagers do with their tech devices besides sending naked pictures to one another.
Sexting is what gets all the headlines. But here's something that just really shocked me. About 1 in 10 teens who are in a relationship said that a current or former partner had threatened them with violence, either via their cell phone or social media or something like that.
Market Watch reporter Katie Hill on a new study about what else teens use their phones for. She's here in about 20 minutes. The flood emergency throughout many parts of South Carolina is not over. How about these numbers? As of now, 14 dam failures statewide and 62 more in danger of failing. This, of course, following the historic rains associated with Hurricane Joaquin that pushed capacity beyond limits. Steve Benjamin is the mayor of hard-hit Columbia, the state capital.
We have some pumps installed in the canal that will continue to allow us to pump water to the reservoir starting tomorrow so we can keep our water supply going.
Most of the water damage in the area known as the Midlands has taken place along the Gills Creek watershed, which is a 70-mile-long network of streams, ponds, and lakes. The LA Times says beginning in the early 1900s, many small earthen dams were built mainly by landowners along the network to create recreational lakes. And then through the decades, neighborhoods have been developed around the scenic lakes, creating stormwater runoff problems. There are potential evacuations, by the way, in 7 more counties as the receding floodwaters trickle down to lower parts of the state and out to sea. There will be no strategic collaboration between the U.S. and Russia in Syria. That's the word from the Obama administration, which also says Russia has built up a ground force inside Syria with heavy weaponry that could support a Syrian army offensive. Meanwhile, Moscow escalated its assault on opponents of Bashar al-Assad's regime with its first naval bombardment yesterday. The Wall Street Journal says Russia launched a volley of 26 medium-range cruise missiles from 4 warships in the Caspian Sea, nearly 1,000 miles away. State Department spokesman Admiral John Kirby.
If it's designed to go after ISIL, and if there's an opportunity there to talk about that, then we're willing to have that discussion. But if, and as we have seen by what they're hitting so far, it's really about going after opposition groups and bolstering the Assad regime, well, that's a different discussion altogether.
The Journal, citing opposition activists and fighters, says for the first time since Moscow's direct intervention in the Syrian conflict a week ago, Russian warplanes and helicopters appear to be aiding a ground assault by pro-regime forces and militias against rebel forces focused in the central Syrian province of Hama. Another twist to Russia's military involvement in the Middle East. Iraqi Shiite lawmakers and militia leaders are urging Russia to launch airstrikes on Islamic State militants in their country. Wall Street Journal reporter Matt Bradley says since Moscow began bombing opponents of the regime in Syria, Iraq's Shiite politicians who dominate government have been largely united in their praise of Moscow's intervention. He joins us now on the T-Mobile hotline from Baghdad. Matt, what do we have?
The Russians have really thrown in quite a bit of resources into backing up Assad. They say, of course, that they're doing it in order to fight Islamic State, which would be consistent with the U.S.'s mission in the region. However, the U.S. has said, and as we've heard over the last couple of days, that they're primarily focusing on all of the rebel groups who are challenging Assad's rule. And so it doesn't look like at all that they're focusing on trying to take down Islamic State. And it seems really that they're just trying to back up the Assad regime. And their behavior in Iraq would be a little bit different, and they wouldn't have an Assad regime to prop up, and they would essentially be fighting Islamic State on the same level that the U.S. is doing it. But this is a very difficult position for the United States, because the United States, of course, has had soldiers, and after it withdrew its soldiers from Iraq, it had quite a robust military presence there anyway. So it is really positioning both of these two major powers for something of a confrontation on the diplomatic level.
Okay, so the potential here for an escalation is what, Matt? What's being said?
Well, I mean, Prime Minister Haider Labadi has said that he is open to Russians launching airstrikes in Iraq. As we've seen, Russia has launched airstrikes from the water, from the Caspian Sea on Syria, in what looks like backing up a discreet and well-planned Syrian government assault on rebel positions. So, I mean, all of this is moving very quickly, and there's quite a bit of momentum that's moving forward toward Russia really intervening in a very robust way, not only in Syria, but also in Iraq. So there's going to be a lot of pressure, most likely, from the United States government on Haider Labadi and his government, trying to convince them not to let the Russians into Iraq, convincing them that this is only going to complicate what is already a very, very difficult and strained battlefield environment. But what the Shiite militia members, what the Shiite militia leaders, and what Shiite politicians in Iraq are saying is that they have been frustrated with the U.S.'s airstrike.
Yeah.
They're not happy with how this has been going. And they think that the U.S. has actually been deliberately allowing Islamic State to continue to fester. And so they really are welcoming Russia's intervention.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Matt Bradley from Baghdad. His piece is called Iraqi Shiite Politicians Call for Russian Airstrikes on Islamic State in Iraq. The accusation that the U.S. is letting Islamic State fester, that'd be based on what? What's their thinking there
really
in terms of our strategy?
It's quite a common conspiracy theory in the region that the United States not only is allowing Islamic State to fester, but that they actually incubated it, that they created Islamic State, that Islamic State is a CIA program in order to try to divide up the Middle East and strengthen Israel. You hear this often from a lot of different people, especially some of these Shiite-backed groups, but you hear it from Sunnis and you hear it from Christians in the region. You hear it from everywhere. And this is something that, while it seems unlikely and very far-fetched from where we're sitting, it actually has quite a bit of traction here, and a lot of politicians use it. It's not clear who believes it and who doesn't,
right.
But the fact that the United States and the Obama administration is not willing to put troops on the ground here is giving a lot of ammunition to people who say that the United States not only is not doing enough because it doesn't want to get involved in Iraq, but that they're not doing enough because they're actually deliberately trying to split up the country.
All right, so you've heard this too, I'm sure, but some are saying, well, Russia's involvement here is a cover-up for President Vladimir Putin at home where things are not going so well. Is there anything to that, or is this just about oil, or what?
Well, I mean, there's no real reason for Russia to want to go after Iraqi oil. Oil prices are lower than they've been in quite a while, and Russia has a very large oil industry within its own borders. But, you know, it's really unclear what Russia's motives are. And when you talk to U.S. military leaders, one gets the impression that even in the halls of power in Washington, that it's not exactly clear what Russia is doing.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Bradley, Wall Street Journal reporter based in Baghdad. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like.
Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
Congress has sent President Obama a massive defense bill totaling $612 billion that he has threatened to veto over an ongoing battle between Democrats and Republicans about government spending. The Senate yesterday voted to approve the measure 70 to 27. Senator John McCain was among those voting in favor.
We're not authorizing any increase whatsoever. Every dollar that the president requested, and therefore, it seems to me that we have supported and tried to work with the administration.
If the president vetoes the defense bill, it would be only the fifth time that has happened in the past half century. The bipartisan measure has become law every year for more than 50 years. The House, by the way, passed the bill last week with enough Democratic votes to sustain a presidential veto. Mr. Obama says he'll veto it because while it contains all the defense money he requested, Congress did not increase money for domestic agencies as he wanted. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the U.S. has ruled out strategic cooperation with Moscow in the Middle East and says Russia has built up a ground force inside Syria with heavy weaponry. Defense Secretary Ash Carter.
Despite what the Russians say, we have not agreed to cooperate with Russia so long as they continue to pursue a mistaken strategy and hit these targets.
Russia escalated its assault on opponents of Bashar al-Assad's regime with its first naval bombardment yesterday, compounding tensions with the U.S. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is calling out East European governments for refusing to take in refugees, accusing them of yielding to prejudice and ignoring their own history. The German leader assailed the response of Hungarian, Czech, Slovak, and some Baltic leaders to Europe's a refugee crisis, saying they should have known better, having lived behind a fence themselves. Merkel made the comments at a meeting with lawmakers of the European People's Party. President Obama called the head of Doctors Without Borders and the president of Afghanistan to apologize for Saturday's airstrike on a hospital in Kunduz. And Doctors Without Borders renewed its call yesterday for an unprecedented international and independent humanitarian investigation of the strike, which killed 22. Sepp Blatter could finally be frozen out by FIFA. The 17-year leader of World Soccer's governing body has been suspended for 90 days after FIFA's ethics committee met yesterday to discuss allegations against him. The decision to suspend the Swiss official still needs to be formally ratified by the committee, but it's highly likely that Blatter will be suspended until January. And as if flying weren't bad enough, Airbus has designed a new way to cram us all in. The European aircraft manufacturer has drawn up a plane where passengers will be stacked on top of each other, with a second level of seats above the heads of those seated on the floor. The plans, which were filed with the European Patent Office, may not ever become a reality, but they nevertheless demonstrate the desire among airlines to maximize profit at the expense of passenger comfort.
No, I think would make more sense would just be have the flyers lie on top of each other.
We're getting there.
Yeah, just maybe some spooning, you know, if one person is actually bigger than the other. Just spoon for 6 hours.
Yeah, but you'd be able to stretch out. That wouldn't be so bad.
It's unbelievable. Let's just stack the passengers. Oh, there's space in the cargo hold as well. Can we move these suitcases out of the way? Oh, 23 minutes now after the hour. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Harry's. Quality men's shaving products, excuse me, for a fraction of big-name brands. Go to harrys.com and enter promo code DEAL for $5 off your first order and change the way you shave forever. Teenagers are doing more unsettling things with their phones than just sexting. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill lists a handful of traumatic things that millions of teens who are in or were in a romantic relationship may have experienced. Katie, what are they doing?
Sexting is what gets all the headlines, but here's here's something that just really shocked me. About 1 in 10 teens who are in a relationship said that a current or former partner had threatened them with violence, either, you know, via their cell phone or social media or something like that. So 1 in 10 has been threatened with violence. I mean, that is a really high number. That I just found that so shocking and scary. And I don't know that parents really do realize that, you know, a partner might, you know, threaten their kid like that. And that's a pretty high number.
Well, I would not have seen that either. It does make you wonder, though, like, would that have happened by telephone, say, I don't know, 25 years ago? I don't know.
You know what's interesting about that is because this, it's a screen and you don't hear their voice, you don't see their face, I think a lot of times it's easier for these things to happen.
That's a great point, yeah.
Yeah, and I which makes me more scared than anything. I mean, that it's just this whole screen, it's so impersonal, and it just makes all these bad things a little bit easier to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what else made the list?
This was interesting and scary, too. Rumors spread about them. 15% of teen daters said a partner or ex had spread rumors about them. And that, too, those rumors can really just, I mean, for lack of a better word, go viral because, you know, someone writes to someone and then everyone's just forwarding it around. And it's a lot easier than even, you know, speaking that rumor. It just, those things can fly and really ruin a reputation pretty easily.
Right. Boy, speaking it when we grew up, you know, it could just die a short life. But these days it just lives on, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, forever. It's on the internet forever. It's just disturbing.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill about her piece entitled Five Disturbing Things Dating Teens Do with Technology. All right, what else?
This one maybe doesn't shock parents, but teen daters, about 1 in 5 say that a partner has read their text messages without their permission. I mean, that probably doesn't shock parents that much. Still not good behavior at all. And then this was weird to me, but 1 in 10 said that they had impersonated a partner or an ex in a message. They pretended to be that person and wrote to somebody else. I mean,
really?
Who knows what exactly they were trying to get, what information they were trying to get out of the person they were writing to, but that is not good.
Ooh. Yeah, I think my kids do that as a joke sometimes, but I've never seen the evil side of that. That may be because mine aren't, I don't know, maybe older teens necessarily, or, you know, dating or something. I don't know if that's got something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not good if they're, I mean, who knows? It's unclear. Pew didn't really get into, like, the nitty-gritty of what exactly they were saying, but I thought, wow, that's not good.
All right, thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill from New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, October 8th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Naval attacks by Russia on Syrian rebels. Hillary Clinton will not support the Pacific trade deal. Damaging congressional testimony expected today by a whistleblower from Planned Parenthood. 30% of Medicare recipients will see monthly costs explode next year. That's 7 million Americans. Oh, Justin Bieber better watch his back. MMA star Ronda Rousey says he refused to take a picture with her younger sister at the Cannes Film Festival. She's no longer a believer. And the Nobel Prize winners who think they're part of a hoax with those middle-of-the-night phone calls. That story in about 20 minutes. The three Republicans vying for House Speaker will face off today in a vote that could signal whether a caucus beset by infighting and tactical confusion can come together once John Boehner leaves office at the end of this month. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California is considered the front runner, but will compete against Jason Chaffetz of Utah and Daniel Webster of Florida. The big day is October 29, when Mr. McCarthy will discover whether he really has votes or whether conservatives, like those in the House Freedom Caucus, have veto power over the conference. More from Matt Fuller, House leadership reporter at Roll Call. Matt, what are you hearing?
The jury's still out of here a little bit, right? We have 3 weeks left before this vote, that vote would take place if McCarthy wins, assuming he wins. And then, you know, would they be able to sort of band together? That, you know, it's a roughly 40-member organization. It certainly seems like there are some who say, whoever is the nominee out of conference, I'm going to support that person. Some people are even saying, I'm going to support Kevin McCarthy. So it certainly wouldn't be 40, right? But the question is, how many out of there are steadfastly against McCarthy? And that's sort of the question that McCarthy's trying to figure out, too, whether or not he can get to 218 on the floor.
Got it. All right, so explain the 218 number, Matt.
Sure. So there's 435 members, so you need a majority of those present voting. So that's, you know, the number's 218. Now, if there are some members who are missing, which was the case in January when Boehner was elected, Boehner was actually elected with 216 Republican votes, so the threshold lowers. But generally, everyone sort of looks at 218 as the number. That's sort of the threshold between passage and failure, generally, even though it sort of goes down when there are some members who aren't here, and that could happen on the speaker vote. But we are planning on 218 being with a full House. That would be the vote. So that's what he needs on the floor.
We're speaking with Matt Fuller, House leadership reporter at Roll Call. His piece is called McCarthy Courts House Freedom Caucus, But Will It Matter? And he has to, McCarthy has to anticipate that he is going to get zero votes from Democrats. Is that true?
Yeah, that's the, you know, that's the general consensus. And certainly if he were to receive some Democratic votes, that wouldn't jive well with a lot of conservatives. You know, sort of weaken his hand a lot.
Okay.
They'd say he has this job because, you know, Democrats gave it to him, and he's in a weakened negotiating position. So certainly he's trying to get there with Republican votes, and that's typically how this goes. It's just a very simple party-line vote. But we've seen the last two speaker elections that hasn't necessarily gone that way. There's been, you know, a good amount of opposition. This year there were 25 members who voted against Boehner, or just didn't vote for him, I should say. And you have all the Democrats who mostly vote for Pelosi. There are some who vote for some other characters, too. But you know, it's not a heads up competition between Pelosi and presumably McCarthy. It's just, if you vote for someone, that vote counts. You just need a majority of everyone voting. So even though, you know, Pelosi will get 185 votes and McCarthy could get 215 or something, if he doesn't have a majority of every single member there, then he's not the speaker.
So if he gets none of the House Freedom Caucus,
If he gets none of the House Freedom Caucus, he will not be the speaker.
Wow.
And functionally, conservatives are saying, yes, we have veto power. And a lot of Republicans are saying, you know, but where's your candidate? Who do you have that can put up, you know, 218 votes or 215 votes? And they admit that they don't, but they also say, look, you know, veto power is just as important. They, you know, even with the 40 members, there are not going to be 40 members who vote against McCarthy. At least I don't think.
Okay. Right?
Talking to these members themselves, some are saying, you know, I will support whoever comes out. And, you know, there are varying levels. It's not just, yes, you know, these are some of the most conservative members of Congress, but there are varying levels of commitment to this idea that we need, you know, someone with new blood, a new speaker who's going to really break the mold from Boehner.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Fuller, House leadership reporter at Roll Call. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. So you'll remember yesterday at this time, Gordon, you and I discussed the case of the young man's drunken rampage over bacon jalapeno mac and cheese on the UConn campus. The video of the incident made 19-year-old Luke Gotti a trending topic for all the wrong reasons, and he's since been seen packing up and leaving the school. However, Gotti's insistence at being served the comfort food to the point of being tackled and arrested got one food writer in Connecticut wondering, just how good is this mac and cheese anyway?
Mm.
Leanne Griffith of the Hartford Courant wanted to find out, so she and a colleague made their way to the school to get a taste for themselves. The verdict? Well, Griffith writes that the macaroni is indeed exceptional, with soft twists of pasta coated in a smooth, rich sauce.
Oh, yeah. And oh, yeah.
I'm getting hungry. And finish off with a crispy golden baked cheese crust. As it turns out now, the bacon and jalapeno need to be added in separately from the toppings bar, but Leanne goes on to say that the bacon added satisfying, salty, fatty notes, and the peppers brought a touch of tangy heat.
Good job, Leanne.
Road trip. That's what I'm thinking right now. You and I, after the show, we get in the car. It's only, what, a three-hour drive from here,
right.
Probably?
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
I think we should do that.
You like that enterprise reporting, too.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Let me go check this out for myself. That's good. It's funny because when we got going with this on social media yesterday, there were, you know, Facebook shares and Twitter retweets. One guy had commented to me on Twitter saying, because I had said, here are the dangers, right? You're caught on videotape doing this.
Yeah.
Now, what happens when a hiring manager sits down with you and he Googles your name and this video turns up?
Yes.
Well, somebody had tweeted to me yesterday, maybe he could become a spokesman for Kraft, right? Maker of mac and cheese.
There you go. Yeah.
So there's always that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to need all the career options he can get at this point, it looks like.
Right.
And Gordon, a British man whose legal name is, believe it or not, something long and complicated.
Okay. Well, go ahead. What is it then?
we're gonna play a little of that Who's On First situation.
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah. Yeah. Something long and complicated was unhappy because Facebook suspended his account and refused to believe his driver's license. The 30-year-old Mr. Complicated, who was born William Wood, by the way, his parents didn't name him that, he was born William Wood and he changed his name legally in 2007, said that his trouble started recently when he attempted to log into his Facebook account and instead received a message saying his identity needed to be verified before he could log back into the social networking site. The man says that he submitted requested copies of his driver's license, passport, credit cards, and various pieces of mail, but the site continued to tell him the documents were not sufficient to confirm his identity. Finally, after complaining to news outlets, Facebook relented and reinstated Mr. Complicated's account, though he will not be able to edit his own name on the site and instead will have to fill out an online form to complete the process. Name changes on Facebook, let me tell you, that is no joke. We had, of course, a name change for this show recently.
Yes.
And it was one part of my job was to go on there and get that changed on Facebook and get it to the new name of the show. And that was a huge process. They wanted all kinds of proof, and it took weeks and weeks.
Is that right?
And then finally it happened. I didn't even know if it was going to happen. I kind of kept my fingers crossed hoping it was going to happen. I didn't know what kind of proof we could provide them, to be honest with you.
Couple of things here. So you said that his troubles started recently, but I really think they probably started in 07 when he changed his name to, quote, something long and complicated.
Right. If you change your name to something long and complicated, you probably deserve to have a long and complicated process to change your name on Facebook.
And here's another thing. Is Facebook that important that he's got to submit copies of his driver's license, passport, credit cards, and pieces of mail to Facebook? Okay, that is identity theft or accident waiting to happen.
And he willingly did this, too. So, Facebook junkie.
Yeah, Facebook is not that important, Mr. Complicated, whatever your name is. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. First, going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter is expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save at least 50% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
Thanks for being with us. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Congress has sent President Obama a $612 billion defense policy bill that he's threatened to veto over an ongoing battle between Democrats and Republicans about government spending. Senator John McCain of Arizona voted in favor of the bill.
There are some Republicans that are more interested in continuing to cut defense than they are become aware of what everybody knows is the greatest series of of crises that we have seen since the end of World War II.
The president says he'll veto the measure because it increases defense spending by padding a separate accounts with an extra $38 billion and didn't increase money for domestic agencies. Volkswagen's top U.S. executive is expected to face tough questions on Capitol Hill today as the emissions rigging scandal enveloping the world's largest automaker appears to be deepening. Volkswagen of America CEO Michael Horn will testify before a House subcommittee investigating last month's admission the company had installed onboard computer software designed to cheat on government emissions tests. Hillary Clinton has joined her Democratic presidential rivals in opposing President Obama's Pacific trade deal as she works to court her party's liberal base. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Accord has enraged labor unions, environmentalists, and other liberal constituencies whose support is crucial in the Democratic primary contest. Senate Democrats are preparing a legislative push to curb guns a week after a mass shooting at an Oregon community college refocused attention on the nation's toll of firearms deaths. Republicans controlling Congress have shown little interest in restricting guns, and the Democratic effort has little chance of success, but their drive could keep the issue in the forefront during next year's elections. And whether it's U.S. News and World Report or the Princeton Review, college rankings seem to come out every other day. But what about the rankings of a different kind of expert, the students themselves? Well, students are weighing in on new site Rate My Professors. The top school? The University of Mississippi, followed by the University of Wisconsin, James Madison University, Washington University in St. Louis, and the University of North Carolina.
Okay. But aren't these students concerned that there could be backlash if they vote thumbs down on a professor?
No.
Yes.
No.
Was that anonymous?
I'm sure that nobody would find out. There are thousands of votes on there.
Student experts. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Receiving a Nobel Prize is an incredible achievement, right? But you can understand when winners in the U.S. get a call in the middle of the night because of the time difference and a Swedish accent on the other end of the line, they can suspect they're part of a hoax. The organizations that oversee these things are actually used to dealing with disbelief. University of Massachusetts medical school biologist Craig Mello got the call on his home phone at 4:30 in the morning in 06. His wife told him not to answer. She thought it was a prank. Then it rang again, and Dr. Mello picked up. He said he's glad they just don't call the next number on the list. He's not the only one to miss a call either, by the way. Princeton University economist Christopher Sims asked his wife to check the area code on the number that woke them up in the dark 4 years ago. It appeared to be from Texas. They agreed it was a wrong number or a crank call. But they eventually got through. He won. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.